The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
The triumph of American independence was the result of the most extraordinary people in history, the most extraordinary culture in history, and the most extraordinary ideas in history, all creating the most extraordinary republic ever, ever, ever in history. It all came together for the miracle of July 4th, 1776. And tonight we come to this beautiful mountain, and it is beautiful, to express our gratitude to those who made it possible, starting with the four men most responsible for reaching this milestone more than any others. We salute the father of our country, George Washington, the author of the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson, the great emancipator and savior of our Union, Abraham Lincoln, and the man who built America into a global superpower, Theodore Roosevelt. These heroes exemplify what is timeless, enduring, and eternal about the American character. And in the end, it has always been that character, our distinct and unique identity. It is a truly unique identity, and it'll never change. It's the ultimate source of our strength and the bulwark of our freedom.
There is a term so often used to describe our nation and those who have shaped it, American exceptionalism. American exceptionalism, the conventional wisdom tells us, makes our freedom a little more free, is how we dug the Erie Canal and irrigated the West, is why children in faraway lands grow up dreaming of one day moving here. And yet the irony is that the story of America has so often been written by those who were told by others with power and influence and wealth that they were anything but exceptional. America, they will tell you, belongs only to those with the right accent or the right shade of skin. The rest of us, they insist, should be grateful for merely being allowed to visit. How small they are. How weak. How unoriginal. As Thomas Paine once wrote, "This new world hath been the asylum for the persecuted lovers of civil and religious liberty. Hither have they fled." And yet today, too many of our leaders do not believe in a vision of this nation as an asylum for the persecuted, but rather as one that persecutes those seeking asylum. As we mark 250 years, what do we see? We see a city of contradictions within a nation of contradictions. We see the wealthiest country in the history of the world, one where children go to sleep hungry while the world's first trillionaire hungers for more. We see monopolies that dominate every industry and oligarchs who buy elections. We see masked agents terrorizing our streets, eating food cooked by our undocumented neighbors before spiriting them away in unmarked vans. We see a nation whose immense wealth has been built by those with calloused, dirt-streaked hands, those who toil on factory floors and chisel into stone. And we see a nation that has allowed so much of that wealth to be held instead in the soft hands of a precious few. There are some who respond to those who ask for more from America with a simple refrain, "Love it or leave it," they say. But patriotism has never been about pretending our nation is without flaws. Patriotism is every act of righteous dissent. It is every march led under the heavy sun. It is every protest held a decade before its time. It is precisely because we love this nation that we will not leave it. After all, who loves America more than those who have sacrificed so much to make it free?
There is now a resurgence of the communist menace in our land, including from newcomers to our country who embrace ideas totally opposed to our way of life and our great success. These are not mere political disagreements like differences over taxes or regulations. Communism is a mortal threat to American liberty. It is the greatest threat to our country, including World War I, World War II, Pearl Harbor, or even 9/11. We're not going to let this happen to us, even while the radicals and extremists attack our incredible history at every turn. They are silent on the miserable history of communism itself because it never worked. That system has led to more death and destruction than any system ever tried. It killed 100 million people just in the last century alone. Communism is the exact opposite of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's death, tyranny, and the pursuit of evil. The godless communist morality states that anything is justified to bring about inhuman visions and to really propose what's good. They don't want good. They don't love God, and they don't want God. They don't love religion, and they don't want religion, and they won't have it. But we will not let them win. They have no chance against us. They have no respect for law, justice, principle, tradition, or your God-given rights. It's an ideology of mass theft, mass control, mass lies, and mass murder. Such doctrines can be given no quarter in a democracy, because the first thing they do when they get into power is turn around and destroy it. But this is a time to rediscover the indomitable spirit that built our country and all that will ensure America always remains the most exceptional nation on the face of the earth. We're not going to let communists get in our way. We're not going to let anyone get in our way. Not the communists.
Quite the contrast. You've got President Trump over the weekend. I think most of those were from Friday. And then Mamdani, who fancies himself as the new Obama, the depressing, the negative. And one thing you have to give President Trump credit for is he is an optimist. He's positive. He's taking a lot of credit for the blessings. We'll get into that here as we proceed. There's not enough credit given to God. We know this. And as I said last week, he's done a really good job of identifying one threat, the communist threat. He's calling it out. But there are other dangerous threats in our world today as well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumped Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Lots and lots to get to on the program. Lots of variety if everything turns out the way we're hoping here at the start. Hopefully you had a nice, enjoyable, relaxing weekend. Sadly, I don't think I've headed down to Edmond, UCO, for the fireworks display in maybe 20 years. But I thought, well, this time maybe it would be worth seeing. And then it was rained out. Very, very disappointing. And then with the England game last night, I didn't want to see the fireworks the next night. I guess they rescheduled it for July 5th. In any event, lots going on the holiday weekend. America is now 250 years old. Pretty amazing. Today, we also had a Celtic Throne show. We had that playing on the computer last night from Mobile, Alabama. And then tomorrow night, they perform in Pensacola, Florida, before they make their long journey home, stopping in Shreveport, Louisiana on Thursday night for a show. That's about 6 hours drive from here in Edmond. And then they finish off the summer tour next Sunday, right in that beautiful building behind me, the auditorium, Armstrong Auditorium, July 12th. I think it's an afternoon performance, so you can look at CelticThrone.com to get to all the details about what is left of the summer tour. In fact, why don't we play some, we're trying to catch up on some of the feedback from the shows. This, what we have, is from St. Petersburg, one of the shows last week, clip 17.
I love it. I saw it 2 years ago. So glad we came back to watch it, watch the new show. Everybody's doing such a great job.
I'm not really a dance fan. I'm here for music. I love music of all kinds, particularly Celtic music, because of the way Celtic music is infused into the music of America. The show is interesting. There's a juxtaposition between what's on the screen from 586 BC to the costumes that they're using, which are very modern or modern-ish. So, but it's a lot of fun.
I think that it is awesome, and the music rocks, and the dancers are amazing, and we're having a blast. We've seen Riverdance 3 times, and this is better.
We thoroughly enjoyed it. We just went to Biloxi a few weeks ago and saw Riverdance. Does not compare to this. This was fantastic.
Theatrical performance. It really was entertaining. It impressed us. We were very excited to see it. Thank y'all very much.
It was amazing. You have to come see it. The dancing, the choreography, the music, and even the backdrops are phenomenal.
The acting and the stage set and everything was fantastic.
What an amazing show. You shouldn't miss it. Better than Riverdance. The music, the singing, the dancing, it was terrific.
Absolutely marvelous. Best show ever.
It was on my bucket list, and I got it checked off. It was awesome.
Tempted me to go to Ireland, and this brought it all back. It was absolutely wonderful. So much talent, so much talent.
Yep.
Thank you very much for coming to Mobile.
We're an Irish family, and we enjoyed every minute of this. It was awesome.
Can I say that the same thing I said to them, that I went to Riverdance about a month ago in Biloxi? They're better, by far, hands down, absolutely phenomenal. I wish I could see them again.
We've seen Riverdance, Spirit of the Dance, Lord of the Dance, and this show. This is the best of all of them. It's the choreography, having the children in it, awesome.
It was great. The dancers were wonderful. The kids were wonderful. It was exasperating energy that I cannot even keep up with. It was spectacular, spectacular.
I absolutely loved the show. I thought it was really entertaining. I could tell that a lot of hard work went into it. And I know I'm a big fan of theater, dance, songs, like singing, music, everything in general. So I just personally, I thought it was amazing. I loved it.
Wow, pretty amazing there. That's that, as you can see, that's from Mobile. So that would have been last night, feedback from last night's show. If we have time later, we can play the feedback that we got from St. Pete. And I'll just mention, too, I think in both locations, Fort Lauderdale when I was there for the PAC, and then that Tuesday night show last week in Fort Myers, some Trumpet Daily viewers that have heard about the show because of this this program were there in attendance as well. And speaking of that PAC in Fort Lauderdale, we're organizing the segments even this week to play some of that for you. If we have time at the end of today's show, we'll show you how that lecture started off a little over a week ago. Let's return to President Trump in the Dakotas. This is clip number 11.
But again and again, he summoned the will to transcend tragedy and triumph and defeat heartbreak with hard work. He worked hard, and I found that out. I mean, if you love what you do, it's not work. That's one thing I will tell you. People say I work hard, but it's not work, because if you love it, I love making America great again. I mean, I'm having a good time.
He built his speech around Teddy Roosevelt, a hard worker as well. But I think it's just to focus on some positives first. President Trump is a hard worker. And as he says there, he loves it. He loves his work. And this is one big reason, no doubt, why he hasn't quit. Look at how much people have attacked him. They've tried to destroy him. They've tried to murder him. And he just keeps going forward. He really does rejoice in his work. Many have said he doesn't sleep much, but I would imagine when he does sleep, it's probably sweet, sweet sleep. Because he loves what he's doing. He loves making the country great. There's a verse, by the way, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 22. Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works. God meant for us to work. The Bible says that God and Jesus Christ are workmen. That's in the Gospel of John. I made the point last week about how that everything God does, he promotes, it grows, he creates, he maintains, he sustains. And then everything the devil does is destructive. He's not a builder, he's a destroyer. God, on the other hand, is a builder. And it's not, you know, in every case, obviously, but you look at Jesus Christ. He was a carpenter. I played showed a video or a picture of Herbert Armstrong. He had the hard hat on out at the construction site. He was a builder. And even President Trump, God brought him back miraculously. And look at his background. He's a builder. What a unique mind that is. Listen, I was playing all these the bits in our family chat this morning from his presser, where he was just going on and on. He was talking about grass and paper clips and helicopters and how powerful, there's tremendous power in helicopters. And the helicopters at the White House have been landing on grass for 50 years. It's time for a landing pad. He was talking about his health checkup. He was talking about children. He was talking about their 401k for their future. Just the World Cup, red cards, everything. He has, for all of his faults, he has an interesting mind. He has an active mind. He really is interested in just about every subject. It's incredible. Good for him. Solomon was the same way in the Old Testament. He loved everything. And he got carried away with it, as Ecclesiastes brings out. He learned some pretty powerful lessons in the end about not just putting your heart into material things. But he certainly loved God's creation. He certainly loved building and beautifying. And so does President Trump. It's not just going to be any old ugly landing pad. You're going to be able to have events there, he said. So everything's going to be the best. He wants to build the ballroom. And people actually want to get in the way of that. There are people who support Mom Donnie, by the way, that are vandalizing the reflecting pool right near the White House. Just anything they can do to destroy. Anything that they can do to tear down. This is what the Laodicean ministers are known for. They can lie and revise the history all that they want, but they're sons of destruction. Pure and simple. We saw it play out. I've been saying we're going to have an entire show on building. Building for God. That's what Herbert Armstrong did. He was a great builder. And I'm sure, even though he faced all kinds of persecution and trials and obstacles, I'll bet Mr. Armstrong went to bed each night and slept in the sweetest, most peaceful way, because he was a workman. He was a hard worker. He loved his work. He didn't even see it as work. He loved making the church great. And so should we. So should we. Now give God the credit. Look to God the whole way. But be an excited builder for God. This was President Trump on the 4th. I think this one's from D.C., clip one.
This is the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, nothing like it. For 2.5 centuries, our American Republic has stood as the crowning achievement of human history. This country is the home of freedom. This is the land of liberty. And this is a flag that's the banner of the most extraordinary, most exceptional, most incredible nation ever to exist on the face of the earth. and we're doing better now than we've ever done before. No people have done more good, shown more courage, made more progress, righted more injustice, or achieved more greatness than you, the American people. For 250 years, the United States of America has been the hope, the promise, the light, and the glory among all of the nations of the world. All over the world, they try and be like us. Nobody can be like us. And with God's help, we will always be this or even better. Our founders not only won our liberty, they secured it with the most righteous political document ever conceived. It's called the Constitution of the United States. Very special. And it's because of their genius that we remain the finest people on the planet after 250 years.
There's a landing page. I don't know if it's at the Trumpet still. Seven things you don't know about American greatness. And we've been trying to direct traffic to this ad that's about the July issue of the Trumpet magazine. And the third point, the world's oldest constitution was built on the Bible, our founding document. He referenced it. He referenced the Declaration, President Trump. And he did acknowledge God. Here again, we tend to take too much credit for our greatness. I think he said there that, well, we've never been greater. What did he say at the start of that quote? Nothing like it. For 2.5 centuries, our American Republic has stood as the crowning achievement of human history. This is the land of liberty. And we're doing better now than we've ever done before. Now, that's something we would disagree with. Better than ever before. Nobody can be like us. And with God's help, we will always be this or even better. But then you look into the Bible and you see what God says about evil and evil men waxing worse and worse and worse. You can see from the cold open just how bitterly divided we are. Those that would just enthusiastically support President Trump and those who fight against it. But coming back to our founding documents, this landing page for the Trumpet, it says America is one of the youngest major nations, yet it has the oldest written national constitution still in force. While other nations have churned through dozens of charters, America's has endured. A major reason is that its framers drew its deepest principles from the immutable principles of Scripture. Now, if the framers did that, we should ask why? And what authority should this book, the Holy Bible, have on our lives? If it's what the founding document of this nation is based on, well, what does that say about the authority of the Word of God? The framers, the founders thought this highly of the Holy Bible? They sure did. That's not to say they understood every detail regarding God's purpose and plan, but they certainly revered the Scriptures. And what happens to nations that trash the Scriptures or the founding documents? That foundation. Here's more from President Trump, clip 2.
And tonight our country is stronger, freer, richer, safer, and prouder than ever before. But it all started with the miracle of history that lives forever in the heart of every single patriot. We are the bravest and the best. Tonight we pledge allegiance to the flag they gave us, and we say, God bless the immortal patriots of 1776, and long live the cause of independence. May it rain forever and ever and ever. We will always be on top. We will never let our country fall. We will always be the best. Together, we are also reasserting the truth that American strength and power is not something to be ashamed of. It is something that we are very, very proud of. This country has been the greatest force for peace and justice on earth. In the last century, we defeated tyrants, demolished evil, and saved freedom again and again and again. The stars and stripes cast the hammer and sickle into oblivion before, and we will do it again if necessary. I don't think it's going to be necessary. I think people have learned. They've learned what to do and how to handle it, and we're going to handle it very well.
He said that last bit. The stars and stripes cast the hammer and sickle into oblivion before, and we will do it again if necessary. I don't think it's going to be necessary. I don't think we're going to have to battle tyrants anymore, because it's not just America that's the best ever. The world. He believes that the world is getting better and better. But it's not. Even when you look at the blessings that God showered upon America, just like our Constitution, it's because of God. This is at that landing page. 7 things you didn't know about American greatness. One of America's deepest advantages is the land itself, the largest contiguous stretch of farmland on the planet, overlain by the world's greatest network of navigable rivers and moated by 2 oceans. America has over 250,000 rivers and 3.5 million miles of flowing water, making up the largest network of navigable rivers on Earth. So exceptional is America's geographic situation that experts have called the U.S. the inevitable empire. It was just inevitable that we became an empire. These geographical advantages are no accident. They were created by God for a specific purpose at a specific time in history. God gave us this land. Over the weekend, I saw that movie, Young Washington, and they actually showed how that in the French Indian War, these Indians knew that God's hand had protected and spared young Washington. And good for the producers of that movie for showing this. God protected his life. He's done it with President Trump. So you've got President number 1 and President 47. And God miraculously intervened to protect them. What is God doing? Why is God doing this? Is it because we are righteous? Well, in the case of protecting President Trump, it has to do with giving us one last opportunity to repent, to turn to God, to turn from our wicked ways toward God in humble repentance. God gave us this land, as the trumpet brings out. It was as if this choice piece of property, real estate, it was inhabited by a few over the millennia, but for the most part, it was uninhabited for thousands of years. And then when it came time to bless the people of Manasseh with the choicest spot on earth, He just gifted us this great land. Just the geography alone is a miracle. It's a miracle. And then God, He prepared people like George Washington to fight for America's independence, to lead America through the frontier. Here's a bit more from, this is Mount Rushmore, clip 3.
For a quarter of a millennium, liberty, justice, equality, self-government, and unmatched prosperity have flourished here as they have never flourished anywhere before. There is nothing like what we are doing. The birth and survival of the American nation under God is quite simply the best and most incredible thing ever to happen on this planet by human hands ever. That is ever, ever, ever. No other country has done more good for this world than the United States of America. And we give thanks for these extraordinary blessings. We remember that what we have created in this country is not the natural way of the world. It is not the norm. It is the exception. It is rare. It is priceless. And it is truly miraculous. Throughout the entire story of humanity, most people in most places have lived a life plagued by suffering, poverty, exploitation, violence, and misery.
So many blessings. This is from that landing page. Seven things you don't know about American greatness. It says the sudden improbable rise of American Britain around 1800 had been foretold. It was actually the fulfillment of a promise of wealth and power given to the descendants of Joseph, postponed for 2,520 years. Then poured out exactly on schedule. You can read all about this, the 2,520-year delay in the U.S. and Britain in prophecy. You can't even give our founders credit. Of course, God was, as I say, he was preparing individuals like George Washington. But it's because of what he promised to Abraham. 250 years. Incredible prosperity, incredible power. We didn't do it. For those that got themselves out of the way so that God could work even more powerfully, so that God could build through them, good for them. Right on time, all of these blessings, all of the prosperity, all of the power. This is from that same page. It says, America's greatness is not assured. Many patriotic Americans can recognize that the nation faces serious problems socially, morally, economically, spiritually. It says, the world's greatest ever single nation is in danger of going the way of every empire in history that has preceded it. We are in danger of going the way of Rome. In that issue, I know I gave this to you last week, but it's worth repeating that Thanksgiving proclamation from Abraham Lincoln, another great, another one right there on Mount Rushmore. He said, we have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. That's the way Lincoln saw it more than 160 years ago. What would Lincoln say today? We have forgotten God. And Mr. Armstrong talks about in the U.S. and Britain in prophecy that once God fulfills his promise, gives us all that fabulous power and wealth, then it's on us to keep from squandering it. We're squandering away. Here's President Trump from Washington, D.C., clip 6.
Over 250 years, the world has seen the great empires, vast kingdoms, mighty nations, and terrible tyrants. They came and they went. But after 2.5 centuries, this American Republic still stands tall and strong, and we love each other. That showed tonight. We have thrived and flourished because our founders were great. Our cause was just. Our people are brave. Our culture is exceptional. And our destiny is written by God.
Wow. We love each other, he says, even as he's exposing the spread of communism, the scourge of this communist infiltration, where so many of our young people are taught to hate their country, to hate the founding documents, to hate the framers. Here's one from North Dakota, clip 9.
Just the beginning of the golden age of America. We're in the golden age of America, and America is going to experience something that I can truly say, I believe, the best is yet to come. It's going to be coming, and it's here, but it's coming at speeds that nobody thought possible.
The best is yet to come. Again, that does not square with Bible prophecy, what Jesus described as great tribulation. I mentioned the verse in 2 Timothy 3:13, evil men and seducers, they wax worse and worse and worse. There's a temporary resurgence, and there, you know, there's some pretty good ideas. And he's creating these accounts for little five-year-olds so that when they grow up to be adults in America, they can hope, if it works, given if that time were to go on long enough, that maybe the oncoming generation of Americans would accumulate some bit of wealth. It is stunning, even today when you see it. All these soccer fans from overseas, and they come to America, and they just can't believe it. The wealth, the prosperity that every American enjoys. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's how Paul described the last days. So we have to look through the lens of Bible prophecy to see what the Bible actually says about our time today, the times we're living in right now. This is, I'll just have to skip over some of these clips. Well, maybe we can play clip 10.
By the end of the 60 years, TR had transformed his country by the reach of his vision. He had a great vision, and by the force of his will, into one of the greatest places, one of the greatest empires, one of the most incredible countries, ready to take its rightful place as the strongest and most respected nation anywhere in the world.
And it is true, these men were visionaries. Washington, Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, as he mentions there, a great builder in his own right. President Trump, a builder. What God wants for us to see is his vision, though, so that we can build for him. Herbert Armstrong said in his autobiography about the work God did through him, he said, "There has been vision behind the planning and phenomenal growth of this great work, but this is the work of God, not of man. And the vision and the planning has been that of Jesus Christ, the active living head of this work, not of man." God did the building. We are his instruments, Mr. Armstrong said. God said in Genesis 12, in verse 2, "And I will make of you a great nation." This is what God said to Abraham. If he would obey, if he would keep the commandments, "I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." You go back to the founders of America, and if they didn't know a thing or two about the promises to Abraham, they certainly understood the principle, the concept, that blessings come from God and that curses set in when we forget God. That's what Lincoln was getting at in 1863. "I will make of you a great nation." And God certainly did that. To look at all of this these blessings and the prosperity that America's enjoyed for 250 years, and then to know that, yeah, I can actually go read about it in Genesis 12? Really? Here's another one from North Dakota, clip 12.
So Theodore Roosevelt and his presidency fell exactly at the halfway mark between the founding in 1776 and the place we are today in 2026. And here are five lessons, and I wanted to write these because you can learn from some people, not from too many. From a lot of them, you don't want to learn much. But you can learn from him, and here are five lessons that are really extraordinary. Life offers to all Americans on the threshold of our 250th year. First of all, the life of Theodore Roosevelt reminds us that Americans never give up. We don't give up. You know, if you really look back 2 years ago, I can see people wanting to give up. I can see them wanting to give up. He never stopped, never quit, never surrendered.
And neither did President Trump. To his credit, he didn't quit. He didn't surrender. I mentioned that quote so often in Lee Smith's book about how he had no voice following the fake insurrection. Look at the evil behind all of those hoaxes. Evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse and worse. The enemies are still all around. And as I said last week, congratulations for identifying one enemy, but there are others. There's an empire building in Europe right now. And how many times have we made a deal with Iran? How many times has that war ended? Just in the last few months. And people on the left ridiculing President Trump for ending the war with Iran dozens of times. They're right. It's a farce to just talk about peace, to talk about prosperity, to talk about endless peace, an eternity of peace, when there is no peace. Getting back to these points, though, never give up. The second point he covered, again, using Teddy Roosevelt as his example, is that we have to have courage. It takes courage to build for God. It does. It takes courage. You think about so many of those instances that God inspired Herbert Armstrong to record in the autobiography from his early life, when he was just starting out, when it was just a mustard seed and the devil was trying to smother it before it could even spring forth. All of those confrontations that Mr. Armstrong had with bitter enemies, hateful enemies, enemies that wanted to destroy the work of God, that wanted to destroy what Herbert Armstrong was building. He had courage. He had courage. Another point that President Trump covered is that we must believe in an America that works. He also said that we need to think big. We need to be visionaries. You can apply these points to building for God today, the fifth one. Whatever our background, we are all Americans. We're all in this together. We're unified. We love each other, as he said earlier. Well, that's not the case. Bitter division. You even look at the many distractions that we're caught up in, whether it's entertainment or sports. President Trump was talking this morning about the World Cup celebrations and how, as he said, it's four times more successful than FIFA ever thought it would be. This here again, the best ever, the greatest ever. And like you heard on this program last week, people are coming into America and they're seeing just how spoiled we are and how addicted to pleasure we are. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's what 2 Timothy 3 says. And that's right. Mr. Armstrong wrote an article back in 1980, America the Beautiful, America the Condemned. What a paradox. No nation's ever so rich, none ever so blessed by Almighty God. Now we stand condemned to total disaster. Our beloved country, yours and mine, now faces total destruction. So which forecast is accurate? The one you hear MAGA out there proclaiming, or this one? And you can look at the date and say, well, 1980, that was a long time ago. Mr. Armstrong was way off. He says it will come soon, not this year, probably not next, but much sooner than anyone thinks. We ourselves already have caused it. We have caused our own destruction. This nation is now heading rapidly into the most terrifying havoc the mind of man could contemplate. He said, listen, this is no pipe dream. It's the truth from God of all creation. I'll give it to you straight first, and then I'll give you the causes and the authority by which I speak. He says, take time to read it all. Read the entire article. It's a serious matter. Life and death. He gives some of the figures, some of the stats, according to prophecies, according to Ezekiel 5. And it's not a pretty picture. He says here, the world, its theologians and religionists have been blind to these words of God for nearly 2,500 years. This military destruction, of course, means nuclear destruction, hydrogen bombs. Further down, he writes, I suppose the average reader will pass it over totally unheeded. Woe unto you who do. No one else is sounding this warning. If I were warning the ancient city of Nineveh, they would heed and save themselves alive. Just like in Jonah's day, I should say. They didn't heed in Noah's day. But for Nineveh, they did. They got the warning and they turned from their wicked ways. It says, we have never yet come to a time when men will clutch at their stomach and loins in fright and fear and in pain as a woman in childbirth. It says, such a time is now, just around the corner. This warning is direct from the Word of God, not my imagination. You can read it yourself in the Bible. It comes direct from God. I have an article here from RC Politics about abortion rates. Children once known to be off limits are now targets for elimination. And if their mothers happen to get caught in the crossfire, so be it. Talks about this study from a couple years ago. More than 328,000 abortion pills have been illegally shipped into pro-life states as of December 2025, according to this report. It's talking about just how rampant abortion is in America, murdering babies. You know about this. You know, I covered some of the stats, gruesome stats in Great Britain a few months ago, just the rate of abortions there, and then the miserable lives. Are we really happy and joyous, unified together? Do we love each other? Do we love our children? That destruction is coming. And like Mr. Armstrong said, we've brought it on ourselves. We are to blame. We're the cause of what's laid out there in 2 Timothy 3, of what's about to happen. As it says in Matthew 24, Luke 21. God intervened to bring in a president He did it the first time. He did it the 47th time. And in the case of this last one, he did it so that we might turn from our wicked ways, so that we might see his hand and turn to him in humble repentance, turn to his way of life, turn to his laws, his lifestyle, his culture. We have that on display with the Celtic Throne series. Celtic Throne 1 and Celtic Throne number 2. We still have that montage from Fort Lauderdale. We'll finish today's show with that. Just to set our minds on something uplifting and positive and wholesome and joyous. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Excellent show. It was a great dancing. As usual, you know, with the Irish dancing, but it was different. And they had some really great things, and even with the younger children, and then the using the sticks. Sticks were great and all that kind of stuff. It's just totally enjoyable show, and I've seen through the years river dance, different things like this. And so I didn't know what to expect, but it was as good or better than any of those.
Very close to the river dance, and it's one I wanted to see for a long time, so I'm glad to be here. I'm really enjoying it.
Absolutely fabulous. Absolutely fabulous.
It's a teaching tool so that Irish culture, dance, music, performance, history is all being passed on to the next generation. It's an incredible concept.
I feel like when the lights went on, everyone was really shocked for a moment, and then we realized that we're already halfway through the show, and I feel like the whole crowd was like, wait, no, we want more.
It's fantastic. I think the energy throughout the entire show has been amazing.
That was so good. The family part, like, hit the heart. Yeah, that when the color match and all that.
For me, as someone from Ireland, though, the fact that 99% of the cast were from Oklahoma, that I appreciate them more.
Yeah,
because they're not Irish, you know what I mean?
I listen to music like this, and I have Irish genes, so this whole show was like, this was me. I was bouncing in my seat and loving it the entire time. I've seen a few different shows in this theater. Best one by far. Kept me entertained and bouncing in my seat like the whole time, singing along to every single one of the songs. It was so great.
Like that, but it was wonderful from start to finish. It was just wonderful. And I loved how you incorporated all the little kids into it and everything. It was very, very sweet, and I almost even went to tears several times, so it was beautiful.
Absolutely brilliant. Good show. Good job, guys.
Can't believe they get their legs up that high. It's amazing.
What you guys have done tonight was absolutely beautiful and amazing.
It was awesome. It was beautiful. You could tell the story through the dance. It was wonderful.
Fantastic. I had no idea there was a story until we were on the way over here.
So the show was absolutely fantastic. I especially loved the choreography. The Irish dancers were all phenomenal. As an Irish dance teacher myself, I couldn't get over how amazing the younger ones were and how together and no fear in them, and amazing performers. And it's a really, really good show. And I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed the music, the singing, the dancing, and especially the choreography. It was great.
Actors were great. The steps were great.
Excellent show. Who would have thought they're from Oklahoma, you know?
Absolutely loved it. The energy was incredible. The diversity, the ages, the children, the adults, their athleticism, the acrobatics that were going on. It was just amazing. And I loved the way the band, the musicians were all incorporated into the show.
I really appreciated the background, the screens, the wonderful photos. That just seemed to flow. I loved every minute of it. I just wish I had their energy.